All right, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on. The summer does not stop the show with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. We're on his turf today in Newport Richey, where he is the mayor, where he can't get an honest jury, and the sage is here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Ira, how are you?
Five more weeks till training camp. No kimono this year. No kimono.
Oh.
We'll see what Sue shows up in. Steve, you got to, if you're a Buck fan, this is the time of your life over here. You got zero losses. You got, you think Devin White's going, going to Canton, and it's a beautiful, and Winston's going to take a big step up into the front ranks. This is the time of your life if you're a Buck fan, and I'm not going to do anything on this show to piss on that, Mr. Isbitz.
All right, it's a happy show. I'm Steve Isbitz. Lee D. Kemper, of course, is here. The other Joe. And your podcast is presented by the good folks at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ira, if you go to Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, you know what you're going to see? You are going to see that the road to summer savings goes right there. All kinds of offers that expire at the end of June. So there's still plenty of time to get over there and take advantage. 0% APR for 60 months for qualified buyers on the beautiful crossover, the 2019 XT5. And folks can still sign up absolutely free food, absolutely free party, Thursday night, June 20th. Ira Kaufman will be at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon from 5 to 7. I know you're only the co-star, Ira. The real star is the XT6 rollout.
I can't wait to get in that showroom, Steven.
It should be fun, and everybody can go and eat and dine with you. And I know some people, some fans who have already done that. So
if you can't make that one, there's one on the next day, Steve.
Exactly. So you RSVP, it's all free at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.com, where they also have last 2018 Cadillac XTS is the last of them, $15,000 off, Ira, the original MSRP. So that's always exciting. Now, like you said, the next night, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, the XT6 rollout just west of 275 on Fletcher. People can hang out with you there. You'll be eating all over again.
Same thing, 5 to 7.
Same thing, same technique, shoveling the delicious hors d'oeuvres into your face.
You know, it's not too late to call off Zach, our brilliant intern, because you got him going out there to monitor what kind of food I'm going to eat. That puts a lot of pressure on me, Lee, and I'm starting to diet at the same time. I'm all messed up going into these things.
Wrong timing.
You know, I might nibble on a cheese and cracker. That's all
nibble.
You get, Zach. and no alcohol. And by the way, it's an open bar. Open bar. You forgot to mention that for the two nights.
Sage. Open bar. We're not selling alcohol here on the show. But, you know, the idea is to get out there. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com is where you can register for the Tampa event. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, Ira. And on their website, you'll see all the tremendous lease offers. Really exciting times. And as I mentioned on a previous podcast, I think these June offers at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, better than I've seen in previous Junes, that's for sure. And they have been, for many, many times, the number one volume dealer in Cadillac for the state of Florida. So,
and Lee, we only make one request of our listeners and our loyal readers, and that is,
listen,
if you're smart enough to go in and pursue a deal with the Ed Morse Cadillac, tell them Joe Buck's fan sent you. We want to hear that.
The typical line over there. Typical line over there is that Ira Kaufman sent me. That's usually
how
it goes.
Either one works, Lee. Either one.
All right, Ira. There is plenty to talk about in the world of the Buccaneers, and we're going to start with today's news that the Magic, poof, general manager Jason Light renegotiates Mike Evans' deal. Basically, takes $4 million out of his salary that was coming this year, turns it into a cash bonus. So Evans got a check today. And then that allows the Bucks to take that $4 million and spread the salary cap hit over 4 years. So $1 million goes this year, and then $1 million over each of the next 3 years. And magically, $3 million appears. And this is, what do you think?
And Lee, no skin off Mike Evans' nose, right? Doesn't really mess him up at all. He gets cash up front. It just shows you, Lee, with the way that this league's structured financially, You got a lot of wiggle room. If you're smart, smart teams know how to do these things. Now the Bucks this year, I think, did it by necessity as opposed to other years because they're kind of cash strapped, which our fans don't even understand how a team coming off two straight 5-0 and you're shaking your head, Lee, because you know what? You don't quite understand it either.
It's beyond logic. It's beyond logic. How can
a 13-3 team can be cash strapped? Because
yes.
Everybody wants to be paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This team's lost 22 games the last 2 years. They're in cap hell. I mean, come on.
Now I want to make this overriding point, Lee, and I dare say you're going to be shaking your head in agreement on this one. This is the big point. All right, you want to pay Devin White, you want to pay Jamel Dean. I understand these things. That is not the big picture. Those guys were going to get paid no matter what. The big picture is you better be ready to strike on September 5th when guys are available that Bruce Arians wants and Todd Bowles covets for this defense. And you got to be ready and have the financial wherewithal and flexibility, Lee, at that time to strike and get the guys you want. And believe me, this roster is far from set. How many times can Arians say that?
Well, it cannot be set. How could you?
Cannot be set.
No, not with a coming back from, what, 10-22 in the last 2 years? There's no. You would have to be so drunk to say this roster's set with that kind of record. No way. And I agree with Arians, and I agree with you, Ira. And I brought this up before, and so many people just scoffed and, oh, what's wrong with you? Yannick over at Jacksonville. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. Yannick over in Jacksonville is in a contract hassle with Tom Coughlin. I'd be all over that guy. And you know what? Right now, there's no way he can fit. If you can get him, you make him fit. You start,
right.
I'll repeat this. You start tossing guys overboard. You start throwing guys on the street. You get him. You get him. Unless they win this year, it is beyond reasonable explanation how a team losing 22 games in the last 2 years is in salary cap hell.
Now, Steve, the other side of the coin is that they decided on core players going forward on second contracts. The Ali Marpets, the Donovan Smiths, Mike Evans in the past. It's hard to argue with some of those. Levante David in the past. And they got themselves tied up in a little bit of a knot here. Not to mention, guys, that if Winston takes the next step up, now you're going to have to make a long-term commitment to Winston.
The X factor here is, you know, the CBA expires after the 2020 season. Who knows what the salary cap will be then? Of course, it goes up for everybody if it goes up, or it drops for everybody, which I don't expect that. No one expects that. So that's the X factor. How much wiggle room will they get when there's a new CBA? I know the NFL and the NFLPA are sort of talking as we speak. I don't expect, I don't expect anything to happen before
that
contract
expires. How many times
have
we heard this? This is going to be done way in advance.
Yeah, I don't expect
it. Never happens, Lee. Never happens.
Rarely, yeah. So I don't expect it to happen, especially with new TV contracts coming up. The NFL Sunday Ticket is up for bid. That's going to be a boom to somebody. So I don't expect it before the end, or before the contract expires, which it expires, what, February of 2021? After the 2020 season?
And Steve, yep. Once again, we're hearing the union talk about some kind of a fund, and the players will be well
A war chest?
A war chest. Steve, this stuff never works. There's always a couple of players, key players, that go off the reservation. And if it's a showdown between DeMaurice Smith and the NFL honchos, I'm going with the NFL honchos.
Oh, by the way, Ira, what is the update? Remember when DeMaurice Smith came to
what
the one
memory
place
you got.
And stomped his foot.
And what did I say that very day, Lee?
Well just so
I
people
say?
Know what we're talking about. He was going to get to the bottom of who leaked Josh
Freeman. We're doing an exhaustive investigation. Who leaked Josh Freeman's
medical record.
Medical records.
Which, by the way, it was God by the name of Burkhart.
You're right. And DeMaurice Smith took a plane back to New York. And while he was... while he was over Raleigh, North Carolina, I shouted to everybody in the media room, you're never going to hear about this again. Zero. And you know what? Crickets, Steve. Crickets. I think it's expired already.
Yeah,
what do you think? Six years have gone by.
I think it's time for you to get an answer, Ira. Call him up. He'll answer the phone.
What I said is he's not going to like what he finds in the investigation.
Yeah, his agent, Freeman's agent leaked it. There was some place, I can't remember where.
By the way, that guy's a successful agent. He's got some people, Burkhart.
He's a shady character, but yeah. I can't remember where I was. I crossed Smith's with DeMaurice Smith, and it was a professional environment, so I really didn't want to be a smart aleck, even though I am a smart aleck.
Could have been at a combine?
I think. I can't remember where, and I so wanted to go up to him like, D. Smith, can you give me an update on the Freeman investigation?
Outstanding.
I didn't do it. I wanted to so bad.
Oh, man.
You know,
it was a lot of bluster, Steve. A lot of bluster, and it meant nothing.
Well, I think this time, going back to the renewal of the of a new CBA labor agreement, you know, the players are desperate. They're dying to smoke pot at will. And
wait, you're not suggesting anybody at One Buck Place is part of that group, are you?
Many of them, I'm sure. And, you know, the players want that off the table. They don't want the NFL testing for it, like the NBA.
Never mind, it's still illegal in so many states.
Yeah, that the NBA doesn't test for it. And there's all the states with the medical marijuana, including Florida, and all the recreational legal states. The players really want that. I think that might actually help get something done on time, if not in advance.
What they also want is guaranteed contracts. That's always the sticking point.
Yeah, I you know what? I can't blame the NFL for not wanting that, because guys get injured so much. It's really hard to, like, okay, you're going to get guaranteed $10 million, and the guy goes out and blows out an Achilles, and then you're on the hook for $10 million, and you get nothing. I don't blame the NFL for that. By the way, did you see Tom Brady is okay with an 18-game schedule? Now, he probably got cussed out by the NFLPA for saying that.
Isn't there a wrinkle now where at an 18-game schedule, a player can only play in 16 of those games?
There's
an
element.
A little bit of a wrinkle there.
Yeah, well, they're talking about that. That is an option. And I remember I asked Evan Smith, who's a Bucks representative of NFLPA.
He's actually the former representative. Oh. Marpet is the new union chief.
That's right. Okay.
So does that mean your backup quarterback is guaranteed to start two games?
It's stupid. If they ever do that, I will be pissed off, because I don't want to watch the team, you know, figuring out 10% of games where guys can't play.
You want your best 53, Lee. That's what you
want.
Yeah,
I mean, Pat Kerwin's been talking about this a lot. NFL really wants 18 games because, oh, by the way, it's more money.
And cut down to two preseason.
Well, the players don't want it. In general, the players don't want it. Like I said, there's Brady's of the world and others. But in general, players don't want it because they don't want to play an extra two games because their bodies get beat up. I get that. And the NFL is kind of a carrot on the stick per Pat Kerwin of SiriusXM NFL Radio. We'll go to 18-game schedule, but we'll add more players to the roster, which means more jobs, and we'll cap a 16-game cap where players cannot play more than 16 games a year, meaning twice a year a player would have to be inactive for
and
a game.
So it's not the injury factor doesn't go up
exactly for
an individual.
Yeah,
player.
I mean they'll be capped at 16 games, but there'll be 18-game schedule, meaning the rosters expand.
That's like saying Isbits can only do one podcast a week. You know, it just doesn't.
It
make
would
any
ruin
sense.
Football.
You think
if
so?
Yes, if you force players to sit in games when they're available to play, don't do it. Don't do it. They'll all make more money, and it would just ruin the game. This is Jameis's mandatory week off. Let's watch Ryan Griffin in his first NFL game against Seattle.
Well, how about this? There's an analogy for you. You're a big NFL, NBA fan. I think the NBA was ruined 25, 30 years ago, but you're an NBA fan. Is the NBA ruined when the Spurs and that jerk owner or coach, although he's a good coach, he's still a jerk. I love Bobby Knight, but Bobby Knight was a jerk.
Popovich.
Okay. He sits out players on purpose on the road, even though they're playing on TNT and the NBA promotes it. No, I'm resting these guys.
That's his choice.
Did it ruin the NBA by doing that?
Absolutely not, but there's way,
okay.
way
he's
more
doing
games.
It for a purpose.
He's doing it for a purpose. There's way more games.
Couldn't the NFL and NFLPA be saying we're doing this for a purpose?
No, I'm not saying that. Ira's saying that. He's doing it because he's the boss of his team, and if he wanted to change his mind in the fourth quarter, he could change his mind on any given game.
Whosever choice, has that ruined the sport because these guys are sitting out?
If these guys sat out about 12% of the games like the NFL is asking them to do, yeah, it would. If they had, yeah, I think it would.
Guys, the overview of this whole thing between the union and the NFL.
Let me just finish, Ira. Look, baseball's manager
just interrupted the state.
I understand. Baseball managers have been sitting players for years. Joe Madden used to do it all the time. I gotta give Carl Crawford
25-man roster.
I gotta give Crawford the game off so he's ready in October. But the percentage of games is totally
it's
160 different.
Games,
and yeah. And it's just totally different animal.
I mean, Whitey Herzog would do that with catchers. He would never play a catcher, and La Russa would do the same thing. They would never play a catcher day after a night game.
I think that's smart. I think that's smart. You give them like a, you know, Sunday afternoon off or something. Now, Lee, the overview, the union and the NFL hierarchy. You know what our listeners and readers say? Work it out. Find a way.
Sure.
Guys, there's $15 billion
sure.
worth of revenues. And by the way, when Goodell took over, I believe the number was $7 billion. He said, I want it to be $25 billion maybe by 2025, I think it was.
There was some
That's
target
not outlandish date. Now. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's not outlandish. There's so much money floating around that, you know, I think that our fans just say, get it done and call me when it's done.
Oh, yeah. Well, the big one that I'm looking at is that NFL Sunday ticket that they're putting up for internet only. And apparently Disney, i.e. ESPN, and Amazon are bidding against each other. And they got major coffers, you know, as you would say, coffers.
That's a major reason why people have DirecTV.
It's the only reason I have DirecTV.
Okay.
Because NFL Sunday ticket is so awesome. And I have NFL DirecTV because NFL Sunday ticket. And that's it's.
But you're at Buck games 8 weeks a year,
yeah,
and
so
you're watching
me,
Buck games.
Yeah, so for me, it's turned to not a smart buy. But if I was just regular Joe B. Buck or Joe B. football fan sitting at home and I get to choose what game to watch, hell yeah, it's a bargain.
All right, Sage, you reintroduced a topic that I want to get to in your last column this week, and you also threw some more fire on the Jason Light hot seat in your previous column before that. We want to touch on those. Wanted to run this by you, though. It's was a little nugget when Jameis was with Adam Schefter. I know Lee didn't write about it yet, but he was asked about his tight ends. And Jameis implied that Cam Brate was not only injured last year, but was injured the year prior and wasn't 100%.
I did write that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Steve, I mean, I didn't focus specifically on that element, but his answer, I did write that.
I don't
want
to be a ball breaker, but who's 100% halfway through an NFL
season?
That's
a fair
season?
Point.
All right. Well, that's
you know,
why
he needed hip surgery. Okay, I understand that about 2018.
The sage has spoken. Now, Jameis, Ira, your column was very clear. You thought about this for months because you talked about it months ago, even this time last year. W's, you want W's, or you're not bringing back Jameis.
I'm not getting off it, Lee. I'm just not getting off it. Especially if you're going into a fifth year, and the fifth year's completed, and you don't have W's, and right now he's averaging 5 wins a year. He's 21-33, and suppose he ends, you know, suppose he's 27-43. I just can't give him that money, Lee. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. How many years can you, and I'm not doing that franchise tag either. That's a Band-Aid.
Well, okay, then you're looking at what, Sam Bradford is quarterback?
I'm starting over.
Well, guess who's here who's not going to start over?
Bruce Arians.
That's right. So you're going to have a complete house clean.
How do you know Arians won't be on board with starting over? He goes 6-10, he's going to blame Jameis Winston
I can only go by the man's words. I mean, I can't pull something out of thin air and put it in his mouth. Arians has said more than a couple times, I'm not here for a rebuild. If you get rid of your quarterback, that's a rebuild.
Well, if you get the right rookie quarterback, you can win.
Can you?
You can win.
Sure.
And you're picking high in the draft, and you get who you want. You can win.
Now, I'm okay if the Bucs decide, you know what, we're going all out. We're going to get this Lawrence from Clemson next year, meaning 2021. We're going to tank the next 2 years. We will get this guy.
Well,
then I'm okay with that.
They're not going to tank this year because Arians has every reason to believe Winston's going to step up.
There's no way you're going to get a decent quarterback then unless you cough up 5 first-round picks. You don't have a first-round pick till 2025.
Well, you want to stick with Jameis Winston for 8 years when he doesn't produce a playoff.
You
want to stay with the
guy. Have you watched the Bucs defense the
past
2 years?
I'm talking about hypothetically here.
Have you watched the Bucs defense the past 2 years?
Yes, I have.
What quarterback can win with that defense?
At some point, a quarterback has to take some responsibility.
And 2 years ago, did Jameis not give the Bucs a lead in the fourth quarter 4 times, not counting that last game when he won it? Yes, he did. And what happened?
8-5, and he didn't get the job done in Dallas or New Orleans. Didn't get the job done.
Did people in New Orleans scream to get rid of Drew Brees when he had three? Was it
you're
three losses?
You're comparing Drew Brees and Jameis.
No. I'm comparing wins and losses.
What do you got in your coke?
I'm comparing.
There?
You brought this up, Ira. I didn't. You brought this up that wins matter so much with a quarterback. Drew Brees. I know he had two losing seasons in a row.
Three.
I want to say three. Aaron Rodgers had two losing seasons.
He already had a Super Bowl ring at that time.
You brought up, not me, you brought up wins.
I did.
So, okay, then. So if wins don't matter, and you're saying wins don't matter.
Lee, he had a track record.
You brought this up.
Winston's got as a record.
You're moving the goalpost, Ira, not me.
Brees had a track record. Winston's got a record.
You're moving the goalpost, Ira. You're moving the goalpost, not me.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So, in other words, it's what's the term I'm looking for? Not isolated logic. It's situational logic we're using here. It's okay for a couple of quarterbacks to have losses. Don't worry about it. Another guy plays with the worst defense a human has ever seen. That son of a bitch quarterback, we got to get rid of him.
Are you saying Brees hadn't been in a Pro Bowl by the time they went 7-9 3 years?
Ira, I'm going to say this one last time. You brought up wins and losses. Not me. You brought it up. So it's either we're going to be consistent or we're going to cherry pick.
Well, first of all, he won 7 games and not 5. That's number 1, 3 straight years.
He's cherry
number
picking.
Number 2, the Saints defense those years were
cherry picking.
Cherry picking. The guy had won a Super Bowl.
All right. Well, let me jump in. Let me dive
Winston
in.
Doesn't have anything in the bank.
I understand cherry what you're pick. Saying, Ira.
Give me a cherry on that Sunday, would you, woman?
I understand what Lee's saying as well. Now, I think the asterisk on those Drew Brees seasons, those 7-9s, if I remember correctly, the Saints were like number 1 and 2 each year in scoring. They were the prolific offense in the league
like
for
that,
those three seasons.
And what was the Bucs passing the last couple of years? Pretty damn good.
They averaged 21 points. The Saints were averaging 20.
Cherry pick.
But I understand
cherry,
what Lee said. But here's
cherry pick.
The X factor, I think, with Arians is – we don't know. None of us know what he told the Glazers when they sat down in that meeting to hire him and said, what's the plan at quarterback? And what do you do if Jameis stinks this year and doesn't respond? And Arians, I'm sure he didn't say, I quit. I guarantee it, but I don't know. None of us know because we weren't there. The other thing that Arians told you on the podcast, Ira, and us, is that I'll be here 3 years. Unless we have a parade down Dale Mabry, I'll be here. And that doesn't mean, well, that's what he said, you know. I might be out in two if we're parading down the street. So if Jameis stinks, I don't think Arians is going to bail on his whole staff and the whole town because he doesn't want a rookie quarterback. Because I just don't think in that meeting with the Glazers, if they said, Bruce, if Jameis stinks and it just doesn't respond, what do we do? I just think there was an answer. I don't know what it was, but
there
I think there was an
answer.
There
also could be a veteran quarterback. I'm thinking of a Derek Carr or something at that point that could be available that Arians likes,
okay,
that
yeah,
he thinks he can turn around.
I'll give you with that. I'll give you that.
Cherry pick.
But, you know, of course, the odds are Jameis continues to be Jameis, stays has highs and lows, and maybe they score more points, and it all gets washed over with a better defense, and they win games like they did in 2016, and then he's back.
Lee, I can't argue with one of your main points. I can't. They've had a terrible defense and a terrible running game for 3 years. I can't argue that.
Would it be fair about Jameis to say he's a tease?
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, he does some stuff sometimes, and eventually I'm going to write this when I talk to Chris Sims.
And he finishes the season strong, and he gives you that idea going into the next year.
Yeah. When I interviewed Chris Sims earlier this year, eventually I'll write it before the summer's out. And, you know, Steve always says there's no slow period. I'm like a squirrel. I get these nuts stashed away.
Outstanding.
Specifically in my question, I asked Chris Sims, I said, so Jameis, to me, is a tease. There are some things he does like, oh, my God, what are you doing? And other times, like, you're not getting rid of this guy. And he said, that's perfectly. You put that perfectly. And he said, there's times where he looks like he's unbelievable. And other times, like, it's unbelievable. Anybody would think
of it. You know who's
that.
Not like that? Mariota. Mariota's not a tease.
He
hasn't played at a Winston. When Winston's at his best, we haven't seen Mariota play at that level.
Well, he needs it, that son of a gun can pull something out of his derriere like he did against the Chiefs.
But it's a gimmicky play.
It's a freak play.
It's a freak play.
Well, I think, and I'm glad, you know, when I was reading your column, Ira, on Winston, and you mentioned Mariota, and you sort of compared a little bit, I was waiting. I'm like, Ira's not going to include this. I got to get this in here. Mariota, I believe, is on his fifth offensive coordinator
now. I did mention it.
And you did mention it. And I was glad. Well, there's a sage. He doesn't miss a trick. But, I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
Fifth offensive coordinator. That's just if Jameis was drafted and we said
he was. It might be fourth out of 5 years.
You know, another quarterback.
Fourth out of 5 years.
There is a quarterback out there. If he was healthy, unfortunately he's not healthy and his career might be over because of it. But if he was healthy, a lot of Bucs fans, you say, you want Jameis or you want this guy? They'd say, I'll take the other guy. And this dude lost year after year after year after year until a coach came along and turned him around. And like Jameis was the number one overall pick. And this guy lost year after year after year. Alex Smith. How many? And like Mariota, he had
a different quarterback than in style than Winston.
Completely different, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And like Mariota, he had a different coordinator. I think every other year, Mike McCarthy at one point was his coordinator.
But he wins games. He wins games.
He wins games, what, like 5 years, 6 years? Year after year, the guy lost. Lost.
And the Redskins were playing well when he was healthy.
Yeah, he was doing very well there, fit right in, and was the perfect, not perfect, but a very
He's
good.
He's captain check down. But you know what? It could be effective.
But he wins.
Yeah.
Like Harbaugh saved his career. Harbaugh came and saved his career, and probably, you know.
Now, he had some good years with San Francisco.
He did. When Harbaugh came in. But before Harbaugh, year after year after year, he lost. But the biggest play I could ever remember him making, you know, you called him Captain Checkdown. The biggest play I can remember him making was not with his arms, it was with his legs against San Francisco, or his cousins, New Orleans in the playoffs when he ran the end around that fake and he scored like from 35 yards out late in the game. Yeah, I think they gave San Francisco the winning touchdown.
Now, he doesn't run nearly as much as he used to, Steve. Not nearly as much. Which I think is going to hurt him going forward.
Well, he's not running now.
Yeah, that broken leg at the end of his career.
Sage, speaking of hiding nuggets and stashing them, rather, for this time of year, I had put one aside in the very end of May that I rolled out the other day, and it was from the Jets. You know, I put a lot of research into Todd Bowles' defense and what's true and what's not.
He won 10 games that first year, right?
He won 10 games. He had Revis playing at a Hall of Fame level. He got the best career year out of Fitzpatrick, and it was all downhill from there.
That was the year where they needed to win their last game, right?
Yeah, and they were in the playoffs.
Fitzpatrick played a lousy game.
Correct. Yeah. And they had three terrible years after that in a row defensively. Now, defensive end, a guy named Henry Anderson was signed by Bowles last year. Had a career year for Bowles, 7 sacks, and got a contract extension this offseason. He's defensive end for the Jets, 7 sacks. Okay, well, Bowles guy. And
not drafted.
Not drafted. He was a free agent pickup for cheap from the Broncos. And they're talking to him at Jets minicamp, on OTAs. And he says, quote, about the defense, it's a lot different than what we were doing last year. It's just a lot more aggressive, a more attacking front. I know as a defensive line, some of the guys who were here with the Jets last year, we're kind of having to get rid of some of the habits that we developed in that old scheme.
Sounds like they're talking about Mike Smith.
I know, just getting our weight going more forward, attacking, penetrating.
Oh, my God.
It's definitely a fun defense to play in, the new Jets
defense.
You
better cut that out of this podcast because I can see Buck fans driving off to Howard Franklin right now.
Well, now, to be fair, the new
– Lee, that doesn't every week Arian said we're attacking. We're not the gap and hold your man up. We don't do that.
Well, to be fair, Bowles' personality does not impress me as a guy that's gung-ho, whereas Arians is. Bowles with the Jets, he was calling the shots, not Arians.
Steve, the only thing I can come up with, and I'm not saying it's a strong argument, is Bowles couldn't be hands-on with the Jet defense because he was doing too many things. I don't know how true that is.
I don't know either, but it doesn't make a lot of sense.
That's a dirt cutter excuse.
It's a dirt cutter excuse.
When you think of what this guy said, there's two things important. One, Greg Williams, the coordinator there, he's known as a blitz.
He's aggressive.
He's a blitz happy nut. He's the bounty gate guy. And so maybe they're comparing a little bit. But some of this language from a guy, a defensive end who actually thrived under Bowles and liked him, is a little disturbing to me. But when you add in the fact that Henry Anderson's defensive line coach last year, I don't know who he was, but the defensive coordinator was Casey Rogers, who you would think was leading the shots, and now he's the D-line coach here. I don't know.
A little bit ominous, Lee.
It is, but you know what? I flash back to All or Nothing, which is the Hard Knocks version of Amazon Prime, and they were with the Cardinals for an entire year. And oh, by the way, the people that screamed distractions about Hard Knocks, Cardinals made the NFC Championship game, and they had NFL films embedded with them the whole year, not training camp, the whole year. So stop with the distractions. Anyway, I flash back to an episode. I can't remember what game it was, and it was past, you know, Todd Bowles wasn't with the Cardinals at the time. And the defensive coordinator of the Cardinals went to Arians and said something. I can't remember what it was. But his reaction was like if I told you Kate Upton wanted to spend a night with you. He jerked his head around, stared at the defensive coordinator, and yelled, "Blitz them!"
And that's what I would have said about Kate Upton.
Well, you didn't say blitz. You'd say something else.
I would have said, "Where's my blood pressure medication?"
Steve, who just wrote up something? Did I just see something about somebody speculating that if Arians, God forbid, has some kind of a health issue, Todd Bowles is going to step up and be the interim? Who wrote that?
I just have to give that a big who cares. We're going to start talking about interim coaches in the case.
Why should Bowles be right back after three terrible years with the Jets? I mean, come on now.
Who would you hire? Leftwich, Armstrong?
Well, look, if you
maybe even Clyde Christensen. I don't know.
I mean, if you're talking interim, then leave Bowles where he is running the defense, and that's why they got 30 other guys with less responsibility.
Let Tom Moore take over.
Exactly, yeah. all right, Ira, now a couple of things. First, if you're just joining us, or you're fast-forwarding ahead, if you will, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa will be hosting Ira Friday night for the new XT6 rollout. You can go to edmorriscadillactampa.com to RSVP, free food, hang out with Ira.
Should I wear a Sage shirt, Steve? Should I wear it?
Absolutely.
or is that presumptuous? What do you think?
I
got to wear an Ed Morris shirt, don't I? I mean,
you can put the Sage shirt over it.
There you go.
Can I, real quick, Steve referred to you as the mayor. You're the king of Newport Richie.
Deputy
You know
mayor.
What? One night I'm going with Sage. One night I'm going with Ed Morris. There
and so anyway, RSVP, it's all free, 5 to 7 p.m. Friday at edmorriscadillactampa.com. And Thursday night, you can do all the same thing over at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. RSVP there at edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. So, Sage, look, one thing before you explain to us what the heck's going on with this weird Hall of Fame stuff that we heard about. Mike Evans did an exclusive interview for Joe Bucks fan. Man-beast intern Zach Seifter caught up to him at his golf tournament. And
Zach's making a heck of an impression, Stevie.
He's a pound in the turf. And one of the things that came out of that was Evans saying, man, these rookies, they just don't make a lot of mistakes. Talking about the DBs. And I thought that's an important one-liner in the sea of BS that players talk about.
You know who backed up that point? Derek Brooks. Derek Brooks in our The Identity Tampa 2 telecast. I asked him about some of these DBs. And Brooks watched some OTAs. And he sneaks in on the days that we're not allowed out there, yeah. Lee, because he doesn't want to be swarmed over by the likes of us. And he knows, you know, we're going to ask him to be on a podcast or whatever. So he goes the days that we're not invited. And the one impression that stuck out at Brooks, first of all, the tempo of practice, he thought was excellent. And he's not taking pot shots at Cutter's crew or anything, but he's just talking about what he sees.
Cutter was widely acclaimed for his tempo as well.
But he talked about, and when I said Arians keeps talking about these drafted rookie DBs, the corners and the safeties, how they're communicating, how they're picking up the playbook. And Brooks said, I saw it. It jumped out at me at camp. And he said, at this time of year, before the pads go on and you don't want to make too many firm conclusions about prospects, that's what you look for. That's what you look for at this time of year is communication skills, intelligence, football smarts. And Brooks is on board with Mike Evans. He says these guys are very smart, and if that's true, that gives them a leg up on making an impact as rookies, Lee.
That's true, and their speed, the speed. These guys are quick. And
long,
Yeah, they got the length, like the speed. You know, speed kills. You can't replace speed. You can't replicate it. You can't duplicate it. You can't pretend to have it. You either have it or you don't. And it just comes across, even though Arians poos this, I'm still convinced, and Steve, I think, is too, that Todd Bowles watched the film of the Bucks the last couple of years and came back and told Arians, there's no way we can compete unless we amp up the speed specifically in the secondary.
Lee, speaking of communication, do you think it would be unfair to suggest that maybe for the first month of the regular season, new scheme, new coaches, new players, do you think it's fair to say that there are going to be some communication breakdowns, and if you have a blitz-happy defensive scheme where you're taking guys out of coverage, and if you don't get there on in terms of pressure, these guys can be exposed a little bit. Could there be some big yawning gaps until they nail down this scheme?
Perhaps, but I don't think the new defense will be like the old defense, meaning you don't need a sign language translator so everybody knows what the hell their plays are being called. Can I say that, Steve? You think so? Is
so
it fair?
You're saying communication has been a big problem in the old scheme.
From what I understand, it was a major problem. One of these days, Steve and I will write about that. But whenever Steve and I publish what we had heard from a couple sources, both suits and players, people will just be dumbfounded.
You know, these breakdowns, Steve, they go back a long ways. For instance, the one thing that jumps out at me, the visual, and you guys remember this, is how many times a guy was wide open in the end zone, and this is when Revis was on the Bucs that one season, and Revis would turn around and look at the safety like, where the hell were you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that happened all the time that year, Lee.
When you
all
said breakdown, I thought you talked about what happens when you look at your paycheck.
I got
confused. I know you have a little seizure every couple of weeks. All right. I hear you. You know
how fast I run to the bank to make sure that thing don't bounce.
Hey, Lee keeps telling you, get the little app on your phone. You take a picture, it'll be in there in two
Boom.
Seconds.
Yeah.
All right. Now,
What else did Evans have to say, Stevie? Anything else to our young intern?
He had a lot to say. We can fetch my water.
I see a lot of people are talking up Evans as maybe the premier receiver in the league this fall. He's not that far off, Lee. He's got to improve a few things, but boy, he's the best player on the Bucs without question in my mind.
Well, you know what, Ira? I mean, he's the only player in NFL history to have 2,000
yeah,
yards
it's
a season?
I've corrected that a couple times.
There's three of them?
There's three of them.
Okay.
Yeah, there's three of them.
Yeah.
It's Moss and...
This is your first 5 years of the
league. Moss, A.J. Green, and
I mean, Evans, when you're putting up numbers
with
Randy Moss, that says a lot. Especially when your first quarterback was Josh McCown. All these people falling to their knees. Oh, Josh McCown. Then the four-letter outfit hires you. Why would I want to listen to that clown?
You think Evans' number, Steve, will go... Steve, will Evans' numbers go up this year by virtue of not having Adam Humphrey to get some of those safe passes from Winston on third down?
I hope they use him more as a deep threat. I never really understood the whole not using him in that super deep threat role.
That's a guy who could draw defensive pass interference penalties.
Oh,
right
sure.
There.
And he can catch the 50-50 ball with
yes.
the best of them.
Yes.
I hope they use more of that. What I wanted to mention to you, Ira, as we head toward the home stretch of the podcast, which is available on all kinds of podcast platforms now on Stitcher. I threw it up there. Make some folks happy. Put it on the Stitcher app. Ira.
Ask me if I know what Stitcher is. Keep
what's
going.
A Stitcher, Ira?
Never mind that.
That's the sewing lady.
That's where my zipper breaks. You take it to the Stitcher.
What's her name?
Lee, you're on fire today.
All right. So the Hall of Fame. Now, the Hall of Fame, there's discussion that with the 100th year anniversary of the NFL.
This is a big deal, 100 years.
They're talking about sort of opening up the doors in a special 100th year, I don't know what you want to call it, amnesty class, whatever you call it.
Amnesty.
To let in all sorts of senior candidates who may
I don't like that amnesty class.
Right.
Give it something.
Right.
Expanded class.
Expanded.
There we go. That's a much better word.
Special anniversary expanded class to allow in a bunch of extra senior candidates. Now, you, Ira.
And contributors.
You're on the senior selection committee.
Yes.
So you gather and help pick the names that get voted upon. And this is all sort of new, but it seems like it has some legs. What can you tell everybody about this, and what do you think about it?
Well, it's not approved, Lee. It's not approved. It's being discussed by the poobahs, those board of directors, those big shots that live in Canton. They're lawyers and, this and that. And they're talking about it, but they want to do something special for the 100th year. Now, you can't blame them on that. The biggest news that our listeners need to know is this is not supposed to affect in any manner the modern-day candidates. They like the fact that a maximum of 5 out of these 15 guys get in. They like the controversy that 10 guys go away disappointed. They don't want to mess with that. They don't want to expand it this year. They're going to let 10 modern-day go. No, that's not going to happen. So it's not going to help John Lynch, and it's not going to help Rondé Barber if we can get damn Rondé Barber in that freaking room, which we should have 2 years ago.
Will it help Jimmy Giles?
It could help a Jimmy Giles, a Mike Allstott. It's not going to help Simeon Rice. He's a modern-day candidate. So, Steve, what they're talking about is instead of one or two seniors getting in the class of 2020, maybe 10 seniors get in. And believe me.
Per year?
No, one time.
Okay.
One time only, my friend.
Okay, okay.
It's like, you know, it's like the Ed Morse Cadillac offers. One time only in June. And then they go
well
away.
Well done, Ira.
So, and now, look, I'm going to break a little bit of news here.
Oh.
Which you guys, never mind when I do that. There's also some speculation, only speculation, that they would like a regular season game to be played in Canton. Mm-hmm. In 2020. Can they do it? Who wants to give up a home game? You're not going overseas. Now you're going to Canton. Who wants to give up a home? It might be mandated. You're giving up a home game. So,
screams of Browns.
You know, and there's also a plan that the stands would be filled with former NFL players. Maybe, you know, 40,000 of them. Oh, whatever.
What?
I mean, it's an unbelievable idea.
Where'd you hear this, Ira?
It's an unbelievable idea.
Where are they going to get all the crutches and the walkers and everything for these
This
poor
is
guys?
Only in the prospective stages. Nothing is set in stone. But I got to tell you, as far as senior candidates, I can just hear people talking right now. Hey, how many of these guys you want to put in? Why are they pushed over? For whatever reason, there are worthy candidates that passed, you know, voters, not me, of course. Oh, of course not. But that past voters overlooked all-decade players.
What, like John Brody?
Now, I'll give you an example. And you're going to say, gee, I thought that guy was in the Hall of Fame. Drew Pearson. Drew Pearson made a ton of big catches for the Cowboys. And, of course, he pushed off, you know, in that Minnesota game.
Was it Paul Krause he pushed off?
It wasn't Paul Krause. It wasn't Paul Krause. He was in the vicinity, but yeah, it wasn't Krause. Right. I think it was the corner. Nate Wright, maybe, or something? Anyway, I can think of 10 senior. I'll give you a guy. Ken Anderson won 4 passing titles.
Did he?
These guys have to be. Ken Riley. Ken Riley has to be discussed.
Larry Brown.
There's a Larry Brown from the Redskins.
Yes, I remember.
He won.
Running back.
I'll throw in a travesty, Ira. Joe Klecko not being in there.
Joe Klecko, very
guy,
nice.
To be a Pro Bowler at defensive tackle. Then be a Pro Bowler at defensive end.
A member of the sack exchange.
And then switch to a 3-4 defense.
What,
and
he play corner in the next year?
And be a Pro Bowler at nose tackle.
That's strong.
And be a defensive player of the year and to not get in? Are you kidding me?
Look at Steve showing his New York roots with Klecko.
Was Klecko from St. Pete? Part of the member of the sack exchange was from St. Pete.
No. I don't think it was Klecko. They had Gastineau.
Yeah, I didn't remember Gastineau.
And he was a big-time pass rusher. But believe me. Much more than contributors, you can find worthy seniors. I don't think there's 10 more guys that need to go in as contributors.
Is Ken Houston in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Ken Houston is in the Hall of
Fame. He was good.
You know who's getting a big push? I want to.
Well, I imagine that. Not Greg Landry. That expanded group, I'm assuming Doug Williams would get a lot of chatter.
Doug Williams is an interesting candidate because Ira Miller, the very learned and senior man in that room, when people ask, Ira, what's your definition? This is years ago. What's your definition of a Hall of Famer? He's the guy that came up with the line, can you write the history of football without this person being in it?
And
the answer to that is no on Doug Williams.
Is it fair to say, and I love Doug Williams, so I'm not knocking Doug Williams anyway. Some people could twist what I'm going to say is anti-Doug Williams. It's not. It's actually the opposite. It's pro-Doug Williams. Could you argue that his impact on the game was more social than...
Of course you can.
Yeah.
Of course you can. And that was one of my arguments when I talked about Dungy. It took me 3 times to be successful with Tony Dungy, and I didn't think it should take 3 times. But, look, he was a spokesman for social issues, diversity, and this and that. But my main point in that room was he was a historic winner. You got to look at the winning. And with Doug Williams, I'm not sure he's got the body of work. Now, one more guy I want to mention. He's getting a lot of play on Twitter. I'm sure you guys have seen this. He's got a very vocal group of advocates. They're all over Twitter. Hey, what about this guy? What about this guy?
Myron Lewis?
I got Steve, your timing is beautiful. I think it's Ryan Smith. No. I'm not a fan. I got to look at him a little more closely, but my early impression is I pass. The guy's name is Tom Flores. Tom Flores won two Super Bowls with the Raiders. He was Hispanic. He's got that, you know, Hispanic distinction. You know, he was a quarterback on the 69 Chiefs. But you know what? He never played a game. He never took a snap. That don't count. That doesn't count. You're on the roster.
You know, this when people ask me about this.
And he went to Seattle, and he was awful.
This is my way with baseball thinking as well. When you start getting into non-football, I mean non-on-the-field stuff, to me that opens the door for other people. It's very much like a standard is set in the Supreme Court. When the Supreme Court comes out with a ruling, they set a standard. And in future cases, you have to use that
and
standard.
And that was a big issue with the Terrell Owens candidacy. Well, does his experience as a teammate, should that factor in fairly when it says the guidelines are what the guy did on the football field?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, Peter King always said you can't invoke other, you know, off the field stuff. But he made an exception. It was a huge exception. It was Dungy and his societal impact. Okay, well, if you're going to
that can't be the first reason. It's got to be the third reason. And to me, the first reason is he was a historic winner.
Well, it's a wonderful argument.
When they brought that up with Dungy because he's the first African-American, okay, then there's no way you can keep Tom Flores out of the Hall of Fame because he has two.
He has two.
Double what Tony Dungy had, and he's a Hispanic-American. So if you open the door for Dungy, then there's no way you can keep out Tom Flores using that same standard.
But my argument for Dungy was not first.
Yeah, it was not that. Yeah, that's always a debate. Did Dungy get in? Was there any factor of his?
And Peter King claimed, yes, there was.
Of his race. I look at it, and we'll hit this later as we get closer to Hall of Fame, Ira, as we're going to tie up the podcast here. I think with Doug Williams, I think you have to look at it as, did the league and teams discriminate against him, which limited his ability to produce on the field? And I think the answer is yes.
Yes.
Plus, when you throw in, okay, he went to the NFC Championship game, he won a Super Bowl. It's an interesting argument, and that might rage for a while, or it might be over pretty soon. Ira, you brought the house down on this podcast. We will be back with another one this week, of course.
We're at Buffalo Wild Wings, Steve. We should mention that.
And we did, actually. You weren't paying attention. And get us out of here in 10 seconds, Ira.
Well, you know, my lasting impression of this riveting podcast is Kate Upton. I'll leave it at that. See you later, Steve.